Sometimes being a Christian can be very difficult. And one of the greatest difficulties is forgiving other people. It's certainly something that I struggle with and is one of my major spiritual challenges. On one occasion, the disciple Peter spoke to Jesus and said, "How often should I forgive my brother who keeps on wronging me? As many as 7 times." And Jesus replied, "I do not say 7 times, but 70 times 7. In other words, Peter, by suggesting forgiving 7 times, was being generous, but Jesus replies by saying our forgiveness should be unlimited. Now, we're not quite sure whether in Jesus' reply he said 70 times 7 or 77 times. Now, if he said 77 times, it could well be that he was harking back to the story of Lamech that we heard in our Old Testament reading from Genesis. Lamech was one of the first people to live on the earth. And he said to his two wives that he'd killed someone who had wounded him. And then he went on to say that if anyone should kill him, then 77 people should die to avenge his death. In other words, as far as Lamech was concerned, his teaching was brutal revenge. But Jesus' teaching is unlimited forgiveness. Now, Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the unforgiving servant. And the story is that a king decides to settle his accounts with all the people who owe him money. And the first person he calls is a servant who owes him millions of pounds. And he calls for the money to be repaid. And the servant doesn't have the money to repay. And so the king orders that he and his family and all his belongings are sold to help repay the debt. And the servant falls on his knees and begs for mercy and patience and says he will repay the debt in full. And the master is so moved by the servant's plea that he lets the servant off the debt. In other words, he actually pays the debt himself because he cancels it. And the king, the master, is like God, who forgives us our sins. And he does this through Jesus' death on the cross. Our sins deserve punishment, but Jesus took that punishment upon himself through his death, and so our sins are forgiven. But the first servant, having been forgiven his debt, finds a fellow servant who only owes him a few pounds and demands that the money's repaid. And this fellow servant can't repay that money. And so that first servant says that he'll have him thrown into jail until the money's repaid. The second servant pleads for mercy and time to repay the debt. But the first servant has no mercy and has the second servant thrown into jail. God has forgiven us, and so we should forgive others. Now, when the other servants find out about what the first servant has done, they're deeply distressed, and they tell the master what's happened. And the master is furious, and he calls that first servant back to see him. And he says to that first servant that he has forgiven him a huge debt, and so he should have forgiven his fellow servant a much smaller debt. And because he's failed to do that, he is going to torture him until he repays that original debt in full. God has forgiven us, and so we should forgive others. And if we don't, then God will torture us. Perhaps the meaning of this is that our unforgiving spirit blocks out the forgiveness that God so willingly wants to give to us. So what does forgiveness involve? Well, let me begin by saying what forgiveness is not. It's not the same thing as excusing. A 4-year-old boy may knock a cup of tea onto the carpet, and we excuse him because he's just 4 years old. We excuse him because there are extenuating circumstances. He's very young. Forgiveness is not the same thing as forgetting. Someone may promise to lend us a book, or a CD, or a DVD, and they don't. And it's not particularly important to us, and so we forget. But forgiveness isn't the same as forgetting. And forgiveness isn't the same thing as reconciling. A husband may brutally beat his wife, and because of the brutality, the wife may leave her husband. Now, the wife might forgive the husband his terrible brutality, but it doesn't mean to say that she should return to the marital home. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily involve going back to the marital home and being reconciled. So what does forgiveness involve? It means not seeking revenge or retaliation or getting even. Some years ago, there was a television program chaired by Robert Kilroy. Robert Kilroy Silk. And one of his guests was a woman called Mary. And she'd been living with a man and was expecting her child, his child. And the man went off on holiday. He met another woman and he got married to her. And after a while, he returned to Mary and said to Mary, "I'm married." Mary was utterly devastated. She was also furious. And so she decided that she'd take a hammer and put it in a bag. And then her intention was to hammer the man and to scar him for life, so that he would remember what he had done to her. And Robert Kilroy Silk asked her, "And what stopped you?" And Mary replied, "I became a Christian and I was told to forgive." Forgiveness involves not seeking revenge. Forgiveness also involves a new way of seeing the person who's hurt us. If someone hurts us badly, the likelihood is that when we see the person again, what we will do is remember the hurt rather than the person behind the hurt. John Ortberg says that there was someone that he regarded as a trusted friend, and someone else told him that this person had said that he was a difficult person in his life. And John Ortberg felt deeply betrayed by what this so-called trusted friend had said about him. And whenever he saw him, he remembered the hurt that this person had caused him. And after a while, he thought to himself, "This can't go on. I must exercise some forgiveness, and I must begin to see this person in a new light." And he said to himself, "Well, after all, this person is just like me. He's made in the image of God. And also, just like me, he is a fallible person." And so, instead of when he met the person thinking about the hurt, he got beyond it and began to see the person behind that hurt. Forgiveness also involves wishing the person who's hurt us well. It means hoping that they will enjoy good health, have loving family, caring friends, and having a happy life. Jesus once said, "Love your enemies and pray for your persecutors." One of the things that I find therapeutic is that if someone has wronged me, praying to God for them and praying for God's blessing upon them and God's love with them. But let's return to our Bible reading, the parable of the unforgiving servant. The king forgives that first servant his debt, which runs into millions of pounds. He doesn't have the servant and his family and his belongings sold. In fact, he cancels the debt altogether. And in the same way, God is willing to forgive our sins. Through Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus paid the punishment for our sins. And so God has forgiven our sins. God has dealt with us generously and lovingly. And so we should forgive others. But of course, this first servant fails to forgive a second servant who owes him much less. And when the other servants hear about it, they're deeply distressed and report him to their master. And the master is furious, and he has that first servant thrown into prison and tortured. If we refuse to forgive, if we become bitter and angry and resentful, the likelihood is that we are going to torture ourselves. We are going to hurt ourselves. Philip Yancey tells a story about a man he knew. This man's marriage was choked with hostility, and one evening it came to a boiling point, and the man said to his wife, "I hate you. I won't take any more. I've had enough. I can't go on. No, no, no." Anyway, a few weeks later, when the man was asleep, he was woken up by a sound coming from his 2-year-old son's room. And so he went to investigate. And when he did so, he found his son saying in a soft voice the exact words of the argument a few weeks earlier between himself and his wife. The son was saying, "I hate you. I can't take any more." And the man was absolutely mortified at what had happened to his son. He just felt terrible about it. He was tortured. But if we can forgive, then we can benefit, and other people can benefit. Abraham Lincoln, President of America, was a very busy man, and he had to make many speeches to the Senate. And he was so busy that he didn't always research the speeches himself. In fact, he had a staff to do it. And on one occasion, he had to speak to the Senate about an important matter of economics and taxation. And his researcher had given him all the complicated figures and statistics. And Lincoln stood up in front of the Senate and began his speech. And after a time, one of his opponents realized that the figures were wrong. The researcher had got muddled. And after Lincoln finished, one of his opponents tore his speech to shreds. Lincoln lost the motion, and the next day the newspapers ridiculed him. And so that next day, Lincoln called his researcher into his office, and the researcher expected to be sacked. And Lincoln pointed out to him that he'd given him the wrong figures and made him look foolish in front of the Senate. But he went on to say to the researcher, "This all has made me realize how dependent I've been upon you and how much I owe you, and I'd like to express my gratitude for all the careful research that you've done for me in the past and the many times that you've helped me." And Lincoln forgave his researcher for the error of the previous day. And because of this, Lincoln kept a good researcher, and the researcher kept his job. It can be very difficult to forgive, and so we need God's strength and help to forgive others. In the parable of the unforgiving servant, Jesus tells us that God has forgiven us our very great sins, and so we should forgive others who sin against us. God is the great forgiver, and bearing in mind God's generous love and forgiveness to us, this should lead us to forgive other people. Amen.